Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. Scripture says, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" In today's message, Pastor Joel teaches us what it means to be spiritually minded. In the conclusion of last week's message, have you lost your mind?
He knows what you need to survive. As a matter of fact, he don't have to bring anything but himself. Because it says in John 6:35, that I am the bread of life. He who believes in me shall never, that's right, he'll never hunger. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Sounds like he knows what we need to be feasting off of. Amen. Not only for now, but for eternity. He's talking about for eternity. See? You all understand that? You know, you see what he's speaking. I hope you do. Lord, I pray we get this. I pray you never stop serving us, Lord. Because he knows what we need. We don't. We just have an idea. That's exactly why we must be willing to take on a different mindset. Again, I don't care how learned you are. I don't care how intelligent a person might be. Unless you give it to God in exchange for what he has for you, you'll still be operating by your own limited and likely destructive mindset. That's the way it is. Let's do this. I want to take you to the book of Acts. Let's go to Acts, and this is just for a learning point to remind us that no matter who you are, no matter about your academia, no matter how you've been trained, BC, before Christ, all right, I just want to make a point that the Lord gave me. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 9. Now, this tells of Paul's conversion when he was Saul, okay? I don't usually have Pastor Annalisa read these long passages because of timeliness. But in this one, I think it's one that today, with this message that the Lord wants me to read. So, Pastor, can you take us to Acts 9 and read from 1 and read it all the way down to 20, please?
Okay, Acts 9, verses 1 to 20 says, Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, verse 2 says, and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and then his eyes were open, and he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and said to him, The Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight.
Right.
Then Ananias answered, Lord, have I heard?
I have heard.
Said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man,
mm-hmm.
how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he said, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Now let me get this together. Let's take this out of here. And go to verse 16. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And Ananias went his way and entered the house and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me, and you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales,
mm-hmm.
and he received his sight at once,
mm-hmm.
and he arose and was baptized.
All right.
Verse 19, when he had received food, he was strengthened.
Ring the bell again. Keep going.
Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Finally, verse 20 says, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God.
All right, all right.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. This scripture right here, of course, we're talking about Saul. The first, if you go up to 9:1, it says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Saul had already devised a way to go and hunt down Christians. He was trained by one of the highest rabbis, Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was educated. He had 2 degrees, some type of academia, when he was just 21 years old. And he had gone above and beyond the call to take it upon himself to go out and catch Christians, men and women. He was instrumental in a lot of them being executed. Now, the Bible doesn't say he killed anybody, but he sure had a hand in it. You see what I mean? Now, it says that he's right in the, so from verse 9:1, we see that where his mindset is, he's still breathing threats against those who are of the way, which was what Christians would call. Saul is still breathing threats against Christians, right? And then the rest of this explains what happened at his conversion, because up until this point, Saul was a man who definitely had his own mind about things. How could he be changed but for meeting Jesus Christ, but for meeting the Son of God? And this is what we're talking about, okay? So Saul had this all going on, but it was the acceptance. When he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior, things change. Now watch. When he gets down to the point where Saul says, when he saw Jesus, it says in verse 6, so he, meaning Paul, meaning Saul, trembling and astonished. Let's go up to 5. And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Is it hard for you? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, meaning Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Now listen, this is a man that all his life, for years, had persecuted Christians, had made up in his mind, said, I'm in my right mind. I know what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to do this thing, and I'm going to keep doing this thing because I'm good at it. This is what I do, and it needs to be done. I'm a Jew, and this is what is supposed to happen. He did this, and then he met Jesus Christ. and he humbled himself right away. You see what I mean? His mindset was almost instantaneous. It didn't take Paul 20 years to learn who Jesus was. It didn't take him going to church for 40 years and still doing what he wanted to do and playing with this thing. No, when you have an encounter with the Lord, it's an instantaneous thing when you get to know Jesus. Now, I know some people are going to say, well, Jesus didn't speak to me that way. Oh, yes, he did. He's right here in the Bible. This is the word of God. We got more here than Paul had there. Saul had heard a voice. We've heard the word of God. We've heard the true word of God, the complete, inerrant word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, we know the word of God. We've got the Holy Spirit living in us right now. How dare we let a man, when one day change and we can't change in 40 years. Where's our minds? We need to lose that mind and take on the mind of God. Does that make sense? We can't play with this thing. He had his own mindset. Saul had his own mindset. Blind for 3 days, came out of it and started preaching. As soon as Ananias, read it for yourself, Rick. We can't read all of it today. Read it for yourself. As soon as Ananias baptized him, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, the man went out and started preaching. He changed his whole lifestyle. He faced death. He faced scorn. He went to prison. He said, this is it. I know Jesus. My mind has changed. I've lost my mind. I've taken on the mind of Christ. All of this, Paul said. He said, in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who saved me and gave his life for me. That's what he said. That's what it means to take on a new mind. That's what he said. The things that were gained to me, I now count loss for Christ. That's what he said. It didn't take him 30 years, you all. It didn't take a whole year's worth of Bible study. It didn't take all that. It took meeting God. It took meeting Jesus and having a relationship and saying, I know he's real. We got to look at these things. These are things that we need to look at. Have you lost your mind? We need to look at these things, church. And I'm saying church is. Pastor, take us to Acts 26. Watch this. Acts 26, verses 1 to 19, please. Read that for
us. Acts 26.
Now, this is when Saul has the opportunity to come before King Agrippa, okay? And he's been confined in prison. But now he gets the chance to plead his case to the king. Listen to this, would you please?
Then Agrippa said to Paul, you are permitted to speak for yourself. So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation of Jerusalem, all the Jews known. They knew me from the first. And if they were willing to testify that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Mm-hmm. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. Mm-hmm. To this promise, our 12 tribes earnestly serving God night and day hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews.
Come on.
Oh, I'm accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth.
Come on.
This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, mm-hmm. having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
And I promised them often in every synagogue, and I punished them. I'm slowing down a little, Pastor, so
okay,
I can
okay.
see the word. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities.
Mm-hmm.
While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet.
Come on.
For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you.
Mm-hmm.
I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you,
mm-hmm.
to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness into light,
mm-hmm.
and from the power of Satan to God, mm-hmm. and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 19, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision.
All right, thank you. That's good enough. Now, thank you, Pastor. Have a seat there. You see what's going on here. Paul, now he's Paul. This is years later, right? He was first Saul. He's given his account of what happened, which I think is fascinating. It hasn't left word for word. He's saying what Jesus said. He remembers what happened to him that day. That's a part of transformation. You see, that's a part of conversion. You will never forget the day that Christ came to you. You will never forget what he put in you. You will be changed. If you want to know if you're saved, think about how God brought you in and what he has done. You won't have to think about it because there'll be an urgency in you, just like Paul is saying right here. He's saying what happened to him, all right? The old man was crucified. That's what happened to Paul. The old man was crucified and died just as Christ did. Do you see how that is? The new man emerged in place of the old man. That's who's talking to King Agrippa. They want to put this man to death, and the first thing Paul says is, I think myself happy because I get to talk about Jesus. That's what he said. Come on now. We got to see what's going on here. You got to read between the lines to understand what this word is saying. The Holy Spirit reveals it to you. You see what happened? A new man was crucified. And we see from these scriptures what was going on. I'm sorry, the old man was crucified in the last few verses of Acts, especially we can't read all of this. I wish we could, but you all need to read this in your time. Let's go to verses 24. I'll just read that real quick, 24 to 28. Now, this is when King Agrippa sort of jostled with Paul about what he had seen, right? It says, now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Yeah, that's listen to him now. You're beside yourself. What does he mean by that? You don't lost your mind. Paul's probably said, thank you. Now he said, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. That's what he said. Huh? But he said, Paul said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, whom I also speak freely, knows these things. But I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. Huh. He said it was done right out front. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. That's what he's saying. I know that you believe. Now, here's a man getting ready to die, and he's converting the king himself. Now, look at this. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. Now, listen. I read that, and we see that Paul, that's right. This is a soldier right here. Now, this is a soldier. This is somebody who is going to the death preaching the word of God, who says, all that will come, let them come, who is not afraid to speak. He's giving his testimony almost in the face of the gallows, giving his testimony to the king, who could have said, off with his head. And here's Paul saying, you know what's happening. I know you believe. Come on now. This is what we mean by have you lost your mind, okay? You've taken on the mind of Christ. Paul was spreading the gospel to the king, very nearly converting him. King didn't have to say that. He didn't have to say that. He said, you almost. Where's my scribe? You always make me want to be a Christian. Talk to me later. You see what's going on. This is the power of God. Obviously, that's exactly what, and the reason I read that about Paul is that that's what Christ wants from us. True disciples, just as Paul did in this wonderful example of having the mind of Christ. Because that's what we see in these examples. That's what we see in Paul's, in these excerpts about Paul as he gives his story to King Agrippa, considering what happened on the road to Damascus. And think about this, like I said, it didn't take Paul any amount of time to get there. This is years later right here. He's now Paul. His name's been changed because his mind's been changed. All right? But this really happened the day he met Jesus. He fell on his face and he said, Lord, what would you have me do? And he started preaching as soon as he got his eyesight and got some food. And 3 or 4 days later, he was out on the road preaching. This was the same man. Do you realize that? I know we have some people who've been through some stuff. We have some people have been in dangerous situations. Brother DeMille, you know, and different things. His lifestyle before. You go back to those same people preaching to him. I know a pastor right now, a very powerful female pastor, who was running drugs for the cartel. And when they came to do her in, the father opened the door and said, come on in, we're praying. Come on, true story. You tell me that's what being sold out is about. That's what having a new mindset in Christ is about. Huh? You're not perpetrating. You're real about this thing. But you got to lose your mind. You got to lose the things of the world and gain the things of Christ. Amen? That's what we're talking about. That's what Paul is exhibiting. Lord, what would you have me do? Keep that mindset that I had before? Certainly not. Committed to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. It's about having the right mindset. Paul in the book of Romans said, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Apostle Peter said, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. To connect with us, like and follow us on Facebook. And if Pastor Joel's messages are blessing you, let us know. Feel free to submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Are you in need of prayer or encouragement? Please call us at 707-759-5244. Our prayer warriors are here to pray for you. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program, and we're so thankful for your support. If you haven't given, will you prayerfully consider sowing a one-time seed or an ongoing monthly donation today? All financial donations are tax-deductible and accepted on our secure website, where giving is easy. Simply click on the Donate button on our website to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord continues to strengthen you as you follow Him. Join us for live Sunday worship services on Facebook or Periscope at 1 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 for prayer and Bible study at 8 p.m. as we walk through the Bible together. Sunday services are also available on YouTube and at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Don't forget to tune into Miracles of God next week for another powerful message with Pastor Joel Jones. Until next time. God is good.